It's been some while since this has happened, but you may recall several years ago, it was not uncommon for North Korea to send off a rocket and or do some kind of a atomic bomb test without telling anyone. They tried to do it stealthily. And there was a big uproar because the United States, for one, has sensors all over the world, in the satellites, on boats, in planes, on the sea, and they all registered something just went off. We don't know exactly who did it, but we have a good guess based on what the sensors are telling us. And there was a big uproar, and it hits the news and the like. The Annunciation of the angel to Mary is something like that, only in the spiritual order. As soon as Mary said yes, and the Son of the living God became conceived in her womb, you might say the spiritual senses of Satan went off. There's been a disturbance, and we've got to find it and close it, because eternity has just entered time. And that means their defenses have been broken. And that is concern. I mean, just like it would be for us if North Korea started to invade. On a spiritual level, there's something analogous going on with the conception of the Son of the Living God in the womb of Mary. And of course, just 9 months later, already they're searching out. The servants of the enemy, of the devil, are already searching out and trying to destroy the child. When we have the killing of all the innocents in and around the environment of Bethlehem, trying to kill this new king. And by then, of course, Mary and Joseph have taken the child to Egypt for safety, because God has an hour designated, when his Son will meet these powers and finally destroy them. And of course, that hour is the hour of the cross. And I think this flip side of what Jesus is coming for is important for us to appreciate, because he does come so lowly for us. He comes so lowly for us in kindness, in love, in mercy, almost to the point where we would evaluate him as insignificant, like of no use to us whatsoever, because he's so lowly. And then he gets crucified on a cross. It just seems like all is lost. And of course, all that's registered in the Bible. The road to Emmaus, they're all grieving and sorrowful. We thought he was going to be the one. And yeah, I mean, it's like, what good is this Jesus of Nazareth? But see, the flip side of that is we need to understand that he's not so kind with the tyrant. And the tyrant is Satan. I mean, you don't go up to Satan and start negotiating. He's not interested in negotiating. He wants to destroy. That's what he is. He's a destroyer. I mean, take that analogously in our world, trying to go up to someone like Adolf Hitler to negotiate. History has taught us what that was like. Britain was the only holdout against Hitler. Everyone else was going into agreements. Even Russia went into an agreement with Hitler and saying, you know, let's agree not to attack each other. And of course, every single one of those agreements historically, Hitler violated. Because you don't meet a tyrant like Hitler so bent on world domination, so drunk with power. You don't meet someone like that with kindness or try to make friends with someone like that. You just have to fight him. And that's what we did. We had World War II over that. Tyrants are powerful. And the only way to beat a tyrant is with greater power. And that's what Jesus was. He was a greater power. And he didn't spare the devil. We know this. When he gets into his public ministry, they're the first ones to recognize him. We know who you are. And Jesus just says the first words out of his mouth to them is, be quiet. Almost like, you know, I am so tired of listening to you. I'm so tired of hearing you complain all the time and criticize all these people and all their faults, and you're trying to convince me they're not lovable, and will you just please be quiet? And he starts to shut them down. Until the big battle on the Calvary, and that's the hour. They apparently win, and then he comes back, and they are defeated by the blood. Now, I mention all of this because you and I have a weapon at our disposal that recalls the moment Satan was unseated in this world, and that weapon happens to be this prayer called the Rosary. This is a very powerful prayer, because if you'll notice, every single one of these beads, with the exception of the Our Fathers, which is also the prayer the Savior taught us, is today's gospel. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That's recalling the moment when the Son of God entered time. And that is a battering ram against everything Satan is trying to do, specifically in relation to you and your life and your loved ones. You start praying this prayer, I guarantee you, you will know protection that only God can give you, and the yes of our Blessed Mother can offer you as well. Because I don't think it's a secret that the family is under attack today. It's under attack today. And I understand, yes, we have to fight back with all our human efforts to supply for our families and make sure they're able to live in relative comfort and support them, roof over the heads. All that's very important. But there's also a spiritual battle going on against the family as well. How do you protect against that? How do you protect against that? Well, you stay under the power of the blood. You come to this Eucharist, you leave here covered in the blood that defeated the tyrant. Because Jesus, again, he comes in lowliness as far as we're concerned, but he doesn't spare the tyrant. At one point in one of his parables, he even said it. He said, as long as a strong man's belongings are protected and guarded, he's not bothered. It's safe. Until a stronger one comes along and takes away what he was protecting. And that's what Jesus is. He's the stronger one. And the one he's come to take back is us. We are what is in the balance. And he doesn't spare the tyrant. He doesn't spare him. And we need to get into that, call on that, invoke it. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That's a battering ram against every design Satan might have for you personally and your family. And when you're praying that prayer, you're coming under the protection of the Blessed Mother's yes that permitted the incarnation of the Son of God to take place in her womb. And that's when the enemy was unseated, right then. We don't have to necessarily wait till this point. He's already done at the incarnation in the womb of Mary. He's done. It's over. It's just a matter of time, of about 33 years, according to the plan of God, when we get the final victory of Christ crucified, vanquishing the tyrant. So if there's anything I would recommend today, it would be, in the light of this gospel, say the rosary. It really does protect you. It's putting the enemy on notice that here you have no foothold, because this belongs to Jesus. Here you don't belong. This place, me, my family, this domestic church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail, you have no space here. And that's what we need to pray for, brothers and sisters. Because you don't negotiate with a tyrant and try to make friends with it so he'll leave you alone. No, power needs to meet greater power. And in the rosary, we have that for the protection of you and your loved ones.